I'm going to be talking a little bit about Christmas, and I know Christmas is over. You know that because school's almost ready to start, or some of you have gone back to school, and that was just kind of always the marker for us. But I hope you'll see why I'm still talking about it in just a little bit. And actually, Kobe had the nativity set up here. I should have just told you to leave it, because one of the nice things about the way that most of us celebrate Christmas is how festive our homes look during that time. You know, we got the decorations, and we've got the lights, and we've got the trees and the presents and all those different things. But my favorite thing about decorating for Christmas is the nativity set. I have my grandmother's set. We've also got a newer one, but I have the one that she had. And the stable that she had was one of those little stick the peg in the hole and cardboard things, and it's long since bit the dust. So our son made one for us out of twigs and hot glue a long time ago. But when you think about the nativity set and you have the stable or something like that set aside, I just want you to know the likelihood that Jesus was born in a stable made of wood is almost nil, almost absolutely didn't happen. It's hard to say that for sure, but it probably didn't happen quite that way. And another thing that usually didn't happen, we talk about the inn and the innkeeper, which, you know, is, do you have room for him? Well, they really didn't have like a Holiday Inn. I don't know if you know that or not. It's sometimes people had a spare room or maybe even a spare space in a bed with someone else that you could rent for the night. And it just happened that whenever Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, everything was taken. There was nowhere to go. And so that's why they went to wherever the manger was. Some believe that Jesus was born in a cave because a lot of the animals that people had were kept in caves, but not everybody had a cave necessarily. Sometimes animals were just kept in the lower level of the house, kind of like a basement, if you will, and it's you had a walk out, of course, so that you could get the animals in there. And there was a couple reasons that they did that. First of all, they were protected, but also the warmth of the animals would rise up through the floor so that your living room would also be warm. But, you know, warmth isn't the only thing that rose up through the floor, so it wasn't necessarily a pleasant thing. So which was it? Was it a cave or a stable or a basement? What does the Bible say about it? Well, in the account from chapter 2 of Luke, we're told that the newborn baby Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. And ever since that was written, people have added things to Scripture that aren't really there. Like, for example, in Luke, it doesn't mention animals at all. It just says manger. Now, obviously, if you got a manger, you probably got things that are going to be eating out of it, but it doesn't mention the animals. It doesn't say there was an ox and a donkey and a goat and a whatever else, you know, those kinds of, it doesn't say that. It just says that Jesus was born in a manger. I'm not here to argue with anybody about their nativity sets, whether you have a wooden stable or if you build a little cave or if you put them in the basement or whatever you want to do that makes you feel comfortable, do it, because I think it's still important to recognize the birth of Jesus in whatever way that you do. But the stable isn't really the only problem with most nativity sets. It's the wise men. We're going to see in today's passage that there are lots of misconceptions about the guys that we sing about as the three kings of Orient are and all that kind of stuff. First of all, how many were there? We don't know, because the Bible doesn't say. Where did they come from? Well, they came from the east, but it doesn't say exactly where. And the east, as we've already learned, takes up a lot of territory. It wasn't Mount Moriah, I'm pretty sure, you know, but they came from the east. How long did it take them to get there? We don't know that either. But there's something about them that's almost certain. They didn't arrive at the place where Jesus was born while he was still there, because it would have taken them a long time to arrive. And because of the way that this is worded in Matthew chapter 2, we're going to see that there are some other things that we probably have wrong about our nativity scenes. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It is a fairly lengthy passage, but I'm going to read it all from verses 1 through 12. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Matthew 2, starting in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Let us pray. Father, just thank you for this day, and thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your house. I thank you, Lord, for the passages in your word that tell us about the birth of your son. And I pray, God, that we recognize that all of these secondary things really don't matter. What matters is that you sent your son to die for our sins, that we might have the opportunity to accept him, to follow him in baptism, to be saved, Lord, to spend time in eternity with you. And I thank you for that. That's what this is really all about. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Scripture really doesn't tell us a great deal about the wise men from the east. And again, it's because they're not the most important things in this passage. Jesus is. We don't know how many shepherds there were, and we don't know their names, but we do know this from Luke chapter 2, that when the shepherds came, they found Joseph and Mary and the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. We don't know the names or the necessarily the number of the wise men, but I want to look again at verse 1. It says that now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now the term wise men, I don't know what you think of when you think of wise, if it's something that comes because you've got white hair or because you've been around a long time or if you've got a list of degrees behind your name, that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of different things, I think, that determine whether or not someone is wise. These people were called wise men. But in some of your translations, it may say magi. And magi were either astrologers, who I don't think would be wise, or Persian priests who were thought to have some kind of supernatural powers, and I'm not sure that that qualifies you either. But they were called wise men. Jerusalem is approximately 7 miles from Bethlehem. So the fact that the wise men came to Jerusalem first doesn't necessarily mean they went to the wrong place. It just happened to be a place that they stopped along the way. It'd be kind of like coming to Bethany and asking for directions to, oh, let's say Martinsville. That's one of the harder places to describe for a lot of people. Anyway, they stopped and they asked, where is he who was born king of the Jews? And that's in verse 2. And they go on to say that we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, no matter how wise these men may have been, why would seeing a star in the western sky tell them there was a king? And yeah, I did say western sky because I want you to understand, the wise men were in the east when they saw this, but the star was in the west. They went west, young man. That's where they went. And if they'd have gone east, they would have ended up in Outer Mongolia or somewhere like that. But they went to the west, and they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" The scripture from James earlier this morning told us that if we desire wisdom, we need to ask for it. We need to seek God's guidance. And in many ways, that's what these wise men have done. They've sought God's guidance, and he's leading them by this light. We don't know a great deal about these guys, But one of the things that I would venture to guess is that they knew scriptures. They may not have known the Lord, but they knew scriptures. They studied things that maybe necessarily they didn't always believe in, but they studied the scriptures. In Numbers 24, verse 17, it says, "A star shall come out of Jacob," which is Israel, "and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." A scepter is symbolic of a king. It's something that he held on to. And so back in Numbers, it predicted that there would be a star, a king, to rise up out of Israel. And they were probably familiar with that and many other scriptures that told about the birth of the Savior. One of the things that I've always been amused at, I guess, is when people try to come up with scientific explanations for what the wise men had seen. I've heard people say that it was a shooting star. And if you've seen a shooting star, you know that it just kind of shoots and it's gone. I've heard people say that if you calculate it just right, maybe Halley's Comet was flying around about that same time. And then I've heard people say that Jupiter was aligned with Mars. And I heard that from the Fifth Dimension back in the 60s, you know, the song Aquarius, that Jupiter aligned with Mars. Here's my explanation. You're not going to find a scientific explanation for why this light, why this star led them, because it was an act of God. God used this light to draw them, to guide them. And I want you to hear this, if you don't hear much else today. God also provides the light, which is Jesus, the light of the world, to guide us and to direct us. We have to be prepared to follow where he leads. How'd they know how to follow it? I go out and get my newspaper every morning, and it's still dark right at the moment. And just right over here in the southern and eastern sky, there's a great big star shining up there. It's Venus, I believe, that's showing there. And every time I see it, I think, I need to follow that, right? No, probably not. Most of us don't do that because we know that the stars are a great distance away from us. So what would have possessed them to travel what was probably at least 900 miles on foot or on camelback and to take off and follow this light? Well, I believe it's faith that led them to do that. They had to have some reason to believe that there was something that that light was trying to tell them, something God was trying to tell them through that light. It's the same kind of faith that Abraham showed whenever God told him to leave his homeland and go to a land I will show you. And he did. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he'd find when he got there. But he went where God told him to go. It's the same kind of faith that Peter and James and John and Andrew all showed whenever Jesus said, "Leave your nets behind and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They didn't know what was going to happen, but they left everything behind to follow. And it's exactly the same kind of faith that you and I are called to show when Jesus tells us, go. The wise men were led by the light of the star. You and I are led by the light of the world. We've just got to follow. Verses 3 and 4. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Well, Herod was the king, and he's very protective of his power. And they come in from somewhere back east and say, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And Herod's like, "Wait a minute, I'm the king." And he didn't want to show that necessarily, that he was concerned, but he was. He was troubled by it. Herod is a family name. It's like Williams is a family name. And there were lots of different kings named Herod. Some of them did incredibly cruel and unbelievable things, like they killed their own sons, some of them, because they feared that their sons were going to take over their power. Some of them killed lots of other people because they were afraid that they were going to take over their power. And the people that he called, that King Herod called here to try to find out about the birth of this new king, are people that Jesus is going to become very, very familiar with over the next 33 years. They were the chief priests and the scribes. And those are the guys that followed him around all over the place when he started teaching, trying to catch him in doing something that they thought was wrong. Now, verse 5 shows us that these guys, these chief priests and scribes, knew where Jesus was to have been born. They knew the scriptures. They'd studied the scriptures. And they said, Bethlehem is where he's going to be born. And if they knew that, and if they knew that the star had led these guys all this way, and they were going to Bethlehem to see this child, why didn't they believe it? So many times, you and I can be presented with all the facts that we need. All that we need is right here, and we just don't believe it. We don't accept it. When God says things like, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that's in his word. It's the truth. We need to accept it. We need to believe it. But the chief priests and scribes, who were among the only people who really knew scriptures at that time, they told him where Jesus was supposed to be born, but they didn't believe it. Verses 7 and 8. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Now the star had appeared, and they followed it from back east. And either the king didn't see it or it wasn't available for him to see. I don't really know. But he tells them now, go and search for the child, because he tells them, I want to go worship him too. When the shepherds were given instructions to find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, that's what they found. These guys were told to go and search for the young child. And then the king says, when you find him, let me know, because I want to go worship him too. And I don't know if they could read through him there or not. They're going to find out later. But we know the rest of the story. Herod had no desire to worship the Messiah. He had a desire to kill him. Lots of people in this world will tell you that their motives are pure, when in fact their motives are evil. And how can we tell the difference? We got to listen for God's voice. And it turns out that's what the wise men did. Verses 9 and 10, it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen, past tense, in the east, went before them, present tense, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Apparently, the star had disappeared for a time, and now it's back. And they rejoiced greatly that it was back, because it led them to the place where the child was. I remember when I was a kid, we'd come home from somewhere at night, and the moon would be over here in the eastern sky coming up, and I would just watch it because it looked like it was following me. You ever notice that? Am I the only one? Anyway, it looked like everywhere you went, the moon's going with you. Well, I know now that that's not the case, but that's not what happened with the wise men. It's not like they saw this light that they said, hey, that kind of feels like it's following us. It led them. It led them specifically to where the child was. The scripture says that it went before them. And then it says it came and stood over the place where Jesus was at that time. The light given by the star led the men to this place. Likewise, the light of Jesus Christ will lead you where you need to go, where he wants you to go. We just have to follow. I was thinking as we sang the song, I Saw the Light. If the wise men were singing that as they came along, you know, we saw the light. We followed it. Here it is. They rejoiced exceedingly. And verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I want you to notice here, they came into the house, not the stable, not the cave. They came into the house. They saw Mary and her young child, not the baby, not wrapped in swaddling cloths, but the young child. And because of their knowledge of Scripture, because of their obedience to being led by the light, they got to see Jesus. We've got the opportunity to do the same. They recognized Jesus for who he was. They fell down and worshiped him. We've got the opportunity to do the same. Now, the primary reason that most of the time there are three wise men and why we sing the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are, is because there are three gifts mentioned, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But it doesn't say each guy carried one box with one thing in it, and it doesn't say that there was only one box of gold or one box of myrrh or anything like that. We don't know how many men came to worship Jesus. It could have been dozens. It could have been hundreds. But we do know this. They brought gifts of great value to Jesus, and they gave them to him willingly. We have the same opportunity today to give him things that we value greatly. And I pray that we would. We don't get to this in today's passage, and I don't know if we'll ever get to it or not, but it's one of, what happens after this is that King Herod commands his people, his men, to go to Bethlehem, find all the children under the age of two, and dispose of them. Because he thinks that way, I'll be able to get rid of this child. So that tells you one thing. It's probably been about 2 years, and that's what he chose to do. As a result of these gifts that were given, they were able to flee to Egypt to go somewhere, and they had enough money to live on because of these expensive gifts. But you might wonder, why didn't God just smite Herod, knock him down, kill him, get rid of him? He could have. He absolutely could have. But one of the things that we talked about many different times with Jesus is that he fulfilled multiple prophecies from the Old Testament. One of the prophecies said that he would be born in Bethlehem. One of the prophecies said that he would come up out of Egypt. One of the prophecies said that he would be called the Nazarene. Well, that's you can't be born in Bethlehem and fulfill those other two prophecies. And so as a part of the fulfillment of the prophecies, he fled to Egypt whenever Herod was prepared to kill him. Whenever they came home from Egypt, they went to Nazareth, and he was able to fulfill all three prophecies there as a result of being forced. God used Herod to help fulfill prophecy. He used an evil man to help fulfill his kingdom. He can use us. He wants to use us. Verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. They were led to this place by the light, which is actually God. Now they're being led through a dream, which is actually God. Here's what you need to know. God will direct your paths. He'll use whatever means, whatever circumstances necessary to guide us. We have to follow. All of this about the wise men probably not being at the nativity scene. That doesn't mean that you got to go back and dig out your nativity sets that you've put aside and throw the wise men away. I know some people who put them in a different room because they're not there yet, and that's okay. Whatever you want to do. But the thing of it is, remember this. It's not the wise men. It's not the shepherds. It's not the angel or the animals or the stable or anything else that really matters. It's Jesus. Jesus has to be the center, the focus. He has to be the one, the place that we end up when we're guided by the light. And I pray for each one of you here today, just as we saw these two young ladies this morning that came to be baptized, to follow Jesus. They've been led by the light to Jesus. If you've never done that, if you've never accepted the truth of Jesus Christ, what an incredible time right now, after we celebrate the birth of Christ, to do that. If you've never done it, this is the time to confess that you're a sinner, to accept that the only way that that sin can be removed from your life is through the blood of Jesus, and to accept him and to do your best to follow him the rest of your life. For the rest of us, he's leading you. He's got a light up there for you to follow. We just have to follow. Let's make sure that we do. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you once again for this day and for this opportunity, for this, what I consider a miracle, Lord, to see two young lives come to know you and to follow you and to serve you. I just pray for them. I pray for each one of us, God, that we too would recognize that you've got a light shining for us. We need to follow it. We need to be guided by the light that you've provided for us. Lord, I pray if there be one here today that's never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, this would be the time. Thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to gather in your house. And I just pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.